get. I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Welcome to the Wednesday, April 4th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you live from Round Rock, Texas for the next 2 hours. Okay, a couple of quick announcements. Remember, if you need a copy of Freedom to Fascism, I'll be happy to mail you one free of charge. Simply email me at Discerner, D-I-S-C-E-R-N-E-R, at Yahoo, or Discerner12000, 12000, at yahoo.com. Don't forget the truck out, April 23rd through the 25th. If the truckers are parked in front of Washington, D.C., park the trucks, get out, and walk away for a couple days. Or if you can't make it there and you're in front of the state capitol, do the same thing. If you're not a trucker and you know a trucker, let him know. If you don't know any truckers, hang something on the bulletin board at the nearest truck stop. Okay, I've got a guest coming up today with a fascinating story. Some of you may have heard her. Others, new listeners, may not have heard her. But as all of you know, my show centers around government disinformation and corruption, which we try to expose. So I want to tell you, if you blow the whistle on public corruption in Ohio or any other state in the union, as it seems, you're going to become a victim of those who had the audacity to expose. These corrupt officials are absolutely devoid of any ethics, morality, and treat their oaths of office with total contempt. In their world, whistleblowers are the real criminals. I'm going to introduce you to Miss Elizabeth Baumgartner. Okay, she discovered early on that public officials in and around the Sandusky, Ohio area were not living up to their oath of office. Based on her findings, she attempted to remedy it by exposing those involved in various schemes to defraud the state and or various government agencies. She also exposed corruption involving retired visiting judges, which included evidence that some of them were engaging in serial, quote, thefts in office, unquote, by submitting false claims for hours, never worked, and for travel expenses they did not incur. It cannot be disputed that numerous, 50 or more, by the way, retired visiting judges knowingly engaged in a wholesale raping of Ohio taxpayers over the past 10 or more years. In fact, Chief Justice Moyer continues to employ them, thereby allowing further frauds to be perpetrated against Ohio's overburdened taxpayers. On March 3, 2001, while being interviewed by radio station WNYC of New York, Marcus, this is the judge, said, "We believe in our nation that you should have a right to express your views and express your views to the government. And I, as part of that government, am quite willing to listen to other people's views." Marcus' conduct in filing sham criminal intimidation charges against Ms. Baumgartner because she had the audacity to, quote, out him as a dishonest and feeble-minded jurist, proves beyond all doubt that his comments to the WNYC were hyperbolic hogwash. If he was being honest, Marcus would have said, "We believe in our nation. You do not have a right to express your views to the government, and I, as part of that government, am quite unwilling to listen to other people's views, especially if those views expose my egregious misconduct." We're going to have Ms. Baumgartner up to tell her story after the break, so stick with me. It's Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock at republicbroadcasting.org and 12180 shortwave. Be back in three.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." by doing nothing more than you're doing right now because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
We're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. My guest today is Elizabeth Baumgartner. Elizabeth's peril started, for those of you who don't know, back in 2001 when she stood up at a city council meeting in Ohio to expose corruption. And her plight has been going on ever since. She has, up to this date, spent 522 days incarcerated for things like contempt of court in her attempts to expose the corruption in Ohio. Now, as you all know, I had Don Nikoloff on my show last week, and also he's going to be taking over my show Monday while I'm out of town, and he's exposing the corruption as well in Chicago. And I have a number of similar cases that I've had on the air recently, but this one, as diabolical as it is absolutely fascinating. So you want to hear this brave young lady as she tells her story. And with that, I want to introduce to you Elizabeth Baumgartner. Elizabeth, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Mike.
Okay. You know, I pulled some of this stuff off of North Country Gazette. And there's so much of it here. I'm looking at 14 felony indictments on you, felony intimidation. I guess the best thing to do, really, Elizabeth, is just start at the beginning, and let's bring our listeners up to speed, because I have a lot of new listeners out there that don't know who you are.
All right.
And are going to be just literally floored with what you have to say. So go ahead. Let's start at the beginning.
All right. Well, first off, I want to thank you for calling me a young lady. I'm 51 years old.
That's young to me.
Yes. All right. for your listeners out there, my name is Elizabeth Baumgartner. I'm a resident of Northern Ohio. I'm a former attorney and pharmacist and a biotechnology entrepreneur. I've had a lot of success in the business world up into the 90s. I was a leading biotech attorney in Ohio, represented major research institutions, including did work for the University of Michigan's Medical School, Case Western Reserve's Medical School. And through that work, I started coming across thefts of federally sponsored research in some sensitive biotechnologies, which kind of cued my, got me going, got me interested in, you know, just what's going on in our country. And I guess you could say the best about thing you could say about me is I'm naive. I came into law as a second career after being a pharmacist for many years, working with my husband in a small town in Ohio, Oak Harbor, Ohio, which was my husband's hometown. I'm grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and we decided to live out in the smaller area where he came from, and we had a successful pharmacy for many years, which we sold. And I went back to law school and looked for a way to combine my scientific training with law. I graduated first in my entering class at the University of Toledo College of Law in 1994, and while I was going to law school, I went back and did graduate work to get my science skills up to speed, because it had been a while since I'd gone to pharmacy school, and the biotech revolution, DNA and everything, had occurred in the prior to this.
Right.
So I hit the ground running in the mid to late 90s. I'm recruited by a very well-regarded patent firm, and I head up their Midwest office and quickly established a very good practice. And it was there that I, my naivete, if you will, I stupidly thought that, when you discovered something as sensitive as tampering with biotechnologies that have implications in germ warfare or potentially are threats to our national security,
then you would take it to the government, right?
Yeah, and I did. And I went to the FBI in Cleveland and was well received by the old school agents, I guess, who increasingly I'm finding that school tends to have been retired. Mm-hmm. Tends to be retiring. And essentially what we were looking at wasn't so much the national security interest, which I later started to realize what was really behind this, but essentially it was a control and antitrust issue with control of these contracts, a pay-to-play scheme, if you will, running into Ohio's government. At that time, Governor Voinovich, who is now our senator from Ohio. So that made me got my interest going. And in the meantime, my husband was very active back here in our small town of Oak Harbor, Ohio, very popular man. He was elected to our school board, and he had served there for 12 years up until 2003. But in the late 90s, the Oak Harbor schools was an anomaly in that we were a school district that had more money than we knew what to do with. We are the site of Davis-Bessie nuclear power plant. Many people may remember that several years ago, Davis-Bessie was the site of a football-sized hole in our reactor head. But nevertheless, the plant, was producing a lot of money, and our school system, heretofore, prior to this, had been poor. When it was found itself flooded with money, a bunch of carpetbaggers came in and started exploiting the district. My husband, being a savvy businessman and just an ethical guy, started questioning contracts and started asking me, with my expertise in very complicated academic contracts in the university setting, to start taking a look at things. It was then that I discovered, or what my husband and I discovered together in the late 1990s, early 2000s, was $1.4 million misappropriated in our local school district, which is about 10% of our annual budget, through illegal contracts to certain teacher insiders and administrators and outside vendors, particularly law firms. And so it was, I'm sensitized on two levels here in the late 90s, early 2000, in the year 2000, in that I'm seeing insider dealing going on in these very sophisticated contracts dealing with biotechnology. And at the same time, in my little hometown here, I'm seeing self-dealing at the local level with things as stupid as or as silly as paving contracts and, you know, use of school services for personal affairs. So we go to the county prosecutor. My husband's, you know, a school board member, and we say, look, you know, these contracts are illegal. Well, rather than the county prosecutor being interested in the theft, he starts putting up as many obstacles as possible. And it was then that we just finally over, you know, started realizing what you have is just a situation where our prosecutors and our judges and our entire legal system has become a situation where it's not set up to benefit the people, but is just set up to run to see how much money government insiders, particularly in the legal industry, can get for themselves and to give you a hard time.
Now, this was the prosecutor was with Caceres, is that him?
No, this was the prosecutor in Ottawa County, which is where we live, which is a population of 40,000. We're on Lake Erie.
Okay.
His name is Mark Mulligan. Interestingly enough, he's a distant cousin of my husband's. My husband was, I think, in his wedding. He used to be our attorney when we owned a pharmacy until he started asking us to do illegal things.
Wow.
Mark wasn't talented, couldn't survive in the private sector, so he did what a lot of people who can't succeed in the private sector in law do. He went to work for the government, you know.
Mm-hmm. But they either do that or they go to work as administrative law judges,
right,
which is government, right? Yeah.
So this is 2000 is when we've discovered Mark Mulligan running interference for public officials who have stolen and outside law firms that have stolen $1.4 million from our school kids. Or from our community. I file my own criminal charges, which in Ohio you're allowed to do. And that is when I run smack dab into collusion between, ultimately between the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Northern Ohio and several high-ranking state officers, including the former Attorney General of our state, the auditor, to literally obstruct the criminal investigation by bringing in visiting judges and special prosecutors. And
I'm sorry, that brings up another question.
Sure.
This judge, Marcus, now he was a rent-a-judge. He came from a different county, correct?
Correct.
All right. What county did
Ohio,
he come
in? Ohio, we have two different classes. We have retired visiting judges
mm-hmm.
who are supposed to be judges who retired from the bench honorably. In other words, they were never voted out of office. And they can then sit on civil cases. At least my research indicates they can only sit on civil cases. And the Chief Justice of our state has a right to appoint them to cases. And they're to fill in when the dockets get too heavy. What has happened is that system has been abused, in effect, by the Chief Justice and several of these older judges, to where you literally steer a case to a particular judge in order to deliver an outcome.
Right. What county was this Marcus from, do you know?
Judge Marcus is originally from Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he is literally probably one of the biggest and has the longest history that I've been able to find of a judge who travels all over the state and literally gets appointed to politically sensitive cases and it got to the point where you can predict the outcome in advance. I'm kind of getting ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. Let's back up. Let's go back to where you were. I'm sorry.
Sure. No, that's all right. And so at this time, it's still a very small thing. It's just me trying to be a good citizen in my hometown and not recognizing that what I've really run up against is a culture in the Northern District of Ohio. Wherein, for lack of a better word, organized crime has become institutionalized within our government structure. So where the actual infrastructure of government has been converted to a mechanism by which certain insiders or connected people can use the infrastructure of government for their own benefit, whether it's to control a case outcome, whether it's to avoid prosecution, whether it's to get illegal contracts awarded.
Let me stop you right there. The music's here. We've got to take a break. Michael Herzog with my special guest, Elizabeth Baumgartner. Be back in three. You're listening to republicbroadcasting.org. See you in three.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog with The American Awakening, and I have my special guest, Elizabeth Baumgartner. We're talking about corruption in the system and Elizabeth's plight in this particular corrupt system over the past 5+ years. Okay, Elizabeth, let's continue. We have about five minutes in this segment. It's a short segment, and then we have another long one coming up after the break.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Well, fine. As I was saying, what I had discovered on a local level, I began to realize was actually just a larger template, a template that you could expand up to every level of government. In other words, we had collusion on the local level between the prosecutor, the judge, the local media, to literally control local contracts. And as I started to go up the chain of government, I found out it was the same at the state level, in that the attorney general, the auditor of state, county prosecutors were working together, along with major media in the state, to discredit, if you will, any kind of suggestion that we had a pay-to-play culture in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went in early 2001 after finding my public corruption complaint that I filed in a court of law in complete compliance with the rules of court. I found that obstructed directly by prominent attorneys who used to work in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Northern Ohio. And in conjunction with the supervising assistant United States attorney out of Toledo, Ohio. And it was then that I started to realize, this is pretty serious stuff. When you have high-ranking government officials, the federal government, who is responsible for being the check on state authority, actually working to allow, you know, to continue to allow that to happen. From there, I petitioned up into our state, our federal representatives in Congress, which were Congresswoman Kaptur out of Toledo, who did, her office people did meet with me, and our two senators, two Republicans, Senator Voinovich and Senator DeWine, who I later found were the people responsible for obstructing an investigation. Bottom line, I had enough credibility back in 2001. I was a president of a DNA company in Cleveland. I had successfully helped other bioscientists start their own companies. I got a meeting at the very highest levels of the United States Department of Justice in June of 2001 and was promised a probe by Justice Department officials of a pay-to-play culture in Ohio that ran to our Chief Justice, Thomas J. Moyer, our Attorney General at the time, Betty Montgomery, and our Auditor of State, Jim Petro. And I could demonstrate through paperwork, an absolute paper trail, where those public officials, in conjunction with members of the U.S. Attorney's Office, had obstructed inquiry into a serious contract steering setup in our state, as well as protection of traditional racketeering activities such as drug trafficking, gun running, and most offensively, sex crimes, including sex crimes against children. That probe was promised to me. Matter of fact, I was very well received, and they said that, you know, they had identified that Ohio had been a problem. Well, lo and behold, late 2001, right, 911 occurs, and I get a terse letter from the Justice Department after finding out that Senators DeWine and Voinovich had interfered with the Justice Department promised probe. And I'm told that, you know, the federal government just doesn't have time, in view of 911, to be bothered with integrity issues running to the very foundation of our state, which is our justice system.
That was a convenient excuse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, looking back on that, how absurd that is. Because what do a bunch of Justice Department attorneys have to do with investigating terrorism?
Nothing.
You know, the fact of the matter is those attorneys were standing around doing nothing back then, because it was a major excuse for, you know, a distraction, if you will. And we're now seeing this 4 or 5 years later, the massive fraud in government contracting, Hurricane Katrina, the cleanup there. You know, you just see this complete lack of integrity throughout government, and it's a direct result of the lack of the executive branch to enforce its own laws against its own people and who work within it.
And they're all holding hands, protecting each other.
That's right. And, mm-hmm. Essentially, no sooner did that letter come down that the probe was off of our Chief Justice, within 2 days of receipt of that letter, the Ohio Bar was ordered to then start going after my law license. So here you have this woman who was, prior to this, very well regarded, you know, as an up-and-comer in a very exciting area of law. I was very active in community affairs. Through this process, I became a born-again Christian. I was getting inundated with victims of civil rights abuses by our local government officials. And, you know, so here I am representing people for free, standing up at public meetings, commenting on local corruption, mm-hmm. and I'm rewarded by a disbarment effort because the bar and the government does not want your average person to be adequately informed as to how broken, thoroughly broken, the justice system is. It literally has just become a big show.
Right. Well, listen, we're going to go to a break shortly. Now, I know that you stood up at a city council meeting, and are we coming up on that? Is that when
you're... Yeah, that's where we'll start, and that begins the criminalization of my speech. And
okay.
We'll take it from there, and that takes us up finally to the point now where I have three criminal prosecutions going on against me in three counties simultaneously,
okay.
With people trying to put me in prison for 100 years.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're going to take a break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. My guest, Elizabeth Baumgartner, CN3, republicbroadcasting.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Elizabeth Baumgartner, and she's talking about her plight in the court system. And we left off, I guess this is about the time you're going to stand up. You were representing a number of people on civil rights abuses. And now when you stood up in this city council meeting, was this on your own behalf or somebody else's, Elizabeth?
It was actually on my own behalf as well as the behalf of three of my clients that all had been brought to me, if you will. Maybe, for religious people, it would be God led them to me, mm-hmm. or I was led to them, however you want to take it. Essentially, I was representing an African-American woman by the name of Krista Harris, who maintained that the Erie County prosecutor, Kevin Baxter, had used his office to extort sex from her and to compel her to commit perjury in a case so that he could convict African-American drug dealers who were competing with his operation. The same prosecutor was alleged by another client of mine to have been involved, along with other law enforcement agents, in the cover-up of her mother's death, which the forensic evidence showed was in fact a murder, but that local officials had mischaracterized as a suicide.
Is this gentleman...
My client's mother, and well, actually her father, they were estranged, was a local deputy sheriff, and my client told me that her father was involved in protection of drug trafficking and in the sexual abuse of children, and it was quite widespread in the area. And then yet another client, an attorney out of Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio, who was wrongfully convicted through fabricated evidence. He had reported he had been a prominent attorney in Cleveland and had caught, in addition to case fixing in the state, massive federal grant fraud involved in connected to the West Bank and inciting turmoil in the Middle East to create, warmongering, if you will. And then yet again, another client, a 15-year-old mentally disabled boy who had been abused by school officials and then later I found out had been sexually abused allegedly by the brother of a very prominent politician. Then I was there because of my expertise as a federal grant expert and my role as a local businesswoman. Erie County Prosecutor Kevin Baxter was at this meeting, or his company was at this meeting, because they were seeking a preferential contract for dockage for a ferry boat company that he owned that had received $500,000 federal grant illegally through payments to Senator Ted Stevens of the then heading up the Transportation Committee in Congress.
That was a $50,000 donation, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. $50,000 donation to his campaign fund, and in exchange, Kevin Baxter gets $500,000 grant to buy a dilapidated boat and runs his business into the ground within a year. Eyewitnesses said they were using the boat to transport guns, drugs, and just bad behavior all the way around.
Tell me, is this Kevin Baxter still a practicing prosecuting attorney?
Yes, he is. He is the prosecuting attorney of Erie County and is the man who is behind really a key player in, for lack of a better word, in my opinion, the complete criminalization of using, literally transforming prosecutors' offices into protection societies for organized crime.
That's downright scary.
Northern Ohio, much like Chicago, Illinois, has a rich tradition of ties to organized crime. And our location is a border with Canada. On the lake, there's a longstanding culture up here of that type of activity and it being tolerated. If you check back on court cases, a lot of major decisions have come out of this area related to civil rights abuses and as well as racketeering cases. But anyway, my statement at that meeting, all I did was at a public meeting suggest to the poor Clinton City Council that they not enter into a contract with Mr. Baxter's company because, one, it violated Ohio ethics law and that he was abusing his office to gain a preferential contract for himself. And two,
and you have documentation.
From people were alleging very serious behavior on Mr. Baxter's part as well as some of the of some of his associates in his company.
Okay, and you had witnesses and some documentation that you could you could prove it, right?
Not only witnesses but documents and affidavits from these people.
Wow.
His Kevin Baxter has three of his brothers. One is a physician, he's now the coroner of Erie County, gave me statements, and his two brothers, an accountant. And yet another brother, a business, self-employed businessman, gave me affidavits that Mr. Baxter, Kevin Baxter, had, in fact, abused drugs. I had an affidavit from Krista Harris that he had used cocaine in front of her. I had paperwork that showed Kevin Baxter was using his office to run his business. And most importantly, the very contract that he was seeking, this preferential dockage contract, there was a better contract offer on the table. The Port Clinton City business community overwhelmingly showed up at this meeting and was also opposed to doing a deal with Kevin Baxter. Nevertheless, I found myself charged with the crime of falsification for standing up at a public meeting and just referring city council to sworn affidavits and statements that were common knowledge about this man. And, had they done even a simple background check with people who had done business with his company in the past, the Port Clinton City Council would have found, that this was a company that you don't want to do business with. But because Kevin Baxter, as a prosecutor, had a special inside ability he was able to get a criminal charge filed against me for falsification, which, as a statute, only applies to false statements made in official proceedings. Standing up at a public meeting is not an official proceeding. I mean, I think we all can understand that we don't want people making false statements under oath or under, you know, in a court of law or in other kind of official proceedings such as testimony before Congress or statements you might make to a police officer to mislead somebody. Certainly that's something that should be criminalized.
Right. Well, a city council meeting would be somewhat more relaxed than that.
Certainly. Well, a city council meeting is the ultimate expression of political commentary.
Right, yes.
You know, that is the heart of what we're about as a people. Local government, being able to go speak to elected officials, give them your opinion on the matters that are before them. It's not like I, you know, was put under oath and made false statements. And the really remarkable thing in all of this is none of my statements were false, let alone knowingly false.
Wow.
But nevertheless, I'm charged, and it was there that the very process that I've been complaining about, that cases were being manipulated via bringing in a special prosecutor who isn't even lawfully appointed to the job. In other words, he has no oath, he has no bond, and in effect, he's a private citizen that they bring in to act like he's prosecuting you, and then a visiting judge was brought in. Again, no oath, no bond. So the accountability of the process just gets tossed out the window, and you have no recourse. So you have a court proceeding literally turned into a private show trial, much like you know, you would have seen in the Soviet Union. And like the Soviet Union, rather than take it to trial, they started assaulting my mental state, suggesting that I'm mentally ill. So I go from being a woman who just a year prior to this is doing, or a year or two prior to this is doing elite work, working on complicated patents, to being told I'm mentally ill purely because I don't believe public officials should have special preferences in contracts. And purely because I don't believe prosecutors should have sex with witnesses during criminal cases. And purely because I don't believe law enforcement officers and court officials should engage in drug abuse or have or other types of crime.
Well, Elsbeth, that makes you crazy.
Exactly. You know, and the thing that was struck me is so odd in all this is, you know, this is a country. Here I was, a mother of two. You know, these men being the kind of cowards that they are, you know, they didn't come after me directly. They start intimidating our family. We had vandalism on my property, hate things, you know, and I would call up law enforcement. We had vandalism on paint, graffiti sprayed on my property, my home. And, you know, you call up law enforcement, and I was told that hate mongers have the right to come on my property and deface my property. That's not a crime.
So behind the scenes, they're probably hiring provocateurs to just...
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. And the whole goal is to just violate your sense of any kind of sense of safety, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you do adopt the siege mentality. And certainly somebody like myself, who had never been in trouble a day in her life, to all of a sudden find that I'm public enemy number one because I'm expecting government to do its job and protect me and hold itself accountable, it was a stressful time.
Well, you're threatening to rip away the curtain from the wizard, if you will, and expose these people, and they can't have that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so that was during the summer of 2002. We had the show trial. I got a call. I was convicted. Denied the right to call witnesses in my own defense. I got a call right after my conviction. It was a misdemeanor of the first degree.
Okay.
Right after, you know, I wasn't home, like, I think the next day, and I got a call, anonymous call from one of the jurors who said, you know, we were threatened. there were people on the jury who were working for the other side, you know, and it's like, please tell me this so I can, you know, reopen the case. But people were terrified.
Let me stop you for just a second and ask you. You were convicted of a misdemeanor in the first degree.
Right.
Now, what was the sentence that they gave you for that?
That was supposed to be the maximum I could get would be 180 days, but it was all suspended because that was a first offense.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they put unique probation terms on me to muzzle my speech, which is really what they were after.
Okay.
Because I was not allowed to report any wrongdoing by any private citizen. I would go to jail. To put that in perspective, if I were raped by a private citizen, and my probation officer admitted to this under oath just a month ago, if I reported my own rape by a private citizen, that would violate my probation and I would go to jail.
What about if somebody robbed the 7-Eleven and you saw it? You can't report that either?
No. In effect, did happen. I caught lawyers in one of my civil cases stealing money through a fraudulent contract. I reported it, and my probation was revoked without a hearing, and I was tossed in jail 6 days before my disbarment hearings in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, you know, the real desire was to prevent my being able to defend myself at those disbarment hearings. So the entire criminal charge was really nothing more than a device to control the disbarment hearings. I had 40 witnesses ready to be subpoenaed and to testify and to get exhibits ready. And the day my subpoenas were supposed to go out, I was arrested at my own home without a warrant for reporting attorneys for committing insurance fraud.
Okay.
That's essentially what happened. And I was held 6 days without a hearing or charge and then released 12 hours before my disbarment hearings were supposed to start. Needless to say, I was a little frazzled and not prepared for, really, to this day, it still just stuns me, the lengths that people went to. You know, this is the Bar Association, which is supposed to protect the constitutional rights of citizens. And you had the Bar of Ohio literally violating every one of my constitutional rights in an effort to protect their ability to systematically defraud all of us. I showed up, tried to get a federal injunction to stop the process to no avail, and eventually was essentially put back in prison or in jail and held for 75 days without a hearing. I was charged with escape because I didn't return timely. In other words, they let me out to go to the show trial. I don't return because I go to the federal government complaining about how I've been illegally arrested and they're trying to interfere with my ability to defend myself, and instead I'm charged with
attempted escape.
Yeah, essentially felony escape, you know.
Okay.
And so I'm held for a total of 75 days. Through Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, until after the first of the year, we packed the courtroom at my first hearing, and the judge finally discovers, oh, you're right, this isn't a felony, it's only a misdemeanor, and I don't have jurisdiction. But she still violated probation. So essentially what ends up happening is on that simple misdemeanor case, I ended up doing 231 days total. When all was said and done, and the court still kept these probation terms over my head, refused to dismiss the case so they could continue to control my speech.
Was this in a county jail?
Yes.
And what was, tell me, for our listeners, what was your treatment? Were you treated okay, or were there?
No, I was treated, number one, it's a very small county jail, and as a woman, the jail is not equipped to handle women inmates and treat women very badly. I was held, and I was particularly treated badly. I was held in isolation most of the time in a very small area, 24/7. I never was allowed to leave. Recreation consisted of them bringing in a stationary bicycle for me to ride. I was denied, essentially, they would park vehicles outside the intake valve to my cell so the diesel fumes would pour into it and I would wheeze. A lot of psychological abuse. For example, just kind of on a hygiene basis, women aren't even allowed to wear, they aren't provided underwear. We're given male briefs that are worn by the male inmate. And, you know, this kind of degrading treatment. Now, you are allowed to bring your own underwear in, but, you know, I was fortunate. I have a family. But it's just this, it's very hard to describe the psychological abuse.
Well, not only did you deal with that, but I know at some point in time, and I may be jumping ahead of us here, but they were putting you into psychological evaluations as well.
Right. Well, that came up, interestingly enough, during my falsification trial. They tried to raise it, and I had gotten my own psychological evaluation done before any of this started. You know, being medically trained myself, I recognize, and you study history, anybody familiar with Watergate case. Right.
Well, listen, we got to take a break here. Let's hold that thought, okay? We'll be back in three, a short segment, top of the hour, another short segment, and then we go into a long one. Michael Herzog with my guest, Elizabeth Bumgartner, republicbroadcasting.org, 12180 shortwave. See you in three.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Elizabeth Bumgartner. And we got a short segment, this segment here, Elizabeth. Now, when you were in there, I mean, were there times that you find where, you know, it was very difficult to keep your sanity?
Well, certainly the first incarceration, you know, was a difficult time. And you'd mentioned the psychiatric evaluation.
Right.
One of the probation conditions put on me on my conviction was that after the judge denied me the right to call my own psychiatrist in defense of myself at trial to say, look, I've evaluated her. There's nothing wrong with her. She's based in reality. Everything she's saying is true. She has people to back up everything she's stating. You know, after I'm denied the right to call a witness in my own defense, he then made as one of my conditions of probation that I had to go to a state-appointed psychiatrist and to get evaluated by them, and you know, which I declined to do because essentially I've been convicted of making of knowingly making false statements. If you really believed I was not stable, you never should have allowed me to go to trial. You know, and that was the other reason that they revoked my probation. And so once they revoked it, I was determined, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to fulfill their prophecy, if you will. And so while it was difficult, I have never been diagnosed with having any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, true mental illness. Now, that's not to say I have not, I have been diagnosed with a stress disorder due to these incarcerations. Mm-hmm. And each one, I've been multiple, you know, I've been incarcerated a total of 522 days over this stuff over the last, dating back to 2002. And each one gets a little easier on some levels. And on the other hand, coming back out, you get a little more discouraged because you're just that much more farther behind and kind of, you know, overwhelmed.
Right, and this isn't stopping. I mean, there's still, I mean, you had mentioned to me off the air that they were leveling charges against you for being a domestic terrorist, which goes into the federal.
You know, that's essentially after I was restored to my probation in this falsification case, I met a person online, Brian Dubois, and we developed, you know, he recognized that my problem was lack of getting the story out. That, you know, the media, local media in this small area, it was easy to control. And with the internet, develop a website and get your story told. And we did that. And that was www.airyvoices.com.
Mm-hmm.
Our website took off because it met a need. We were basically developed what I at the time believed to be a new genre. I still think we really were on the cutting edge, which was we were showing in real time on the internet actual case documents. We would dissect cases for people to demonstrate how cases that they were reading about in the newspapers were being manipulated. And secondly, we would also dissect newspaper articles with original source material to demonstrate to the community how the local newspapers were misleading the community on what was really happening in their government, what was really happening in the court.
Mm-hmm.
Our website became very popular. We're in a small area, but we were getting lots of hits. And more importantly, the caliber of the people reading our site were thought leaders. And a groundswell started to occur.
All right, I've got to stop you. We've got to go to the top of the hour break. Hold that thought. We're on the website, okay? Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Elizabeth Baumgartner. I think I'm going to open the phones in the next hour, so stick with us if you have a question for her. This is The American Awakening, Michael Herzog, republicbroadcasting.org, and 12180 shortwave, back in three.